How you guys doing? You guys over here are good and awake. These guys over here, I'm not so sure. We're going to have to get some coffee. Josh, can we work on getting some coffee to this side of the room? Well, it's my joy to share with you the word this morning. If you have a Bible, you can pull it out and turn to Acts chapter 2. As many of you know, we also have all of our notes and scriptures in the YouVersion Bible app. So if you've got that Bible app, you can pull it out and go to the events section and find today's message. The title of my message today is Help is Coming. Help is coming. So you can turn to Acts chapter 2 in your notes. And I wanted to begin with a story. I actually was very hesitant whether or not I wanted to share this story because it's slightly embarrassing. Actually, my wife had a Facebook post posted about this, and she's like, can I share this? And I said, I don't think I'm ready yet when it happened. So I want to share a story. It's an embarrassing story. And early last month, as some of you guys know, my family and I went on vacation, as many people do in August. And as we were getting ready to go, we're actually going to be ready to go on a camping trip. Camping and boating is kind of what my family loves to do, to get away and to get out of town. But along the way, we ran into a problem. And here's the deal. Having four kids and two dogs and two adults to get out of the house for any given day or activity, it becomes a little chaotic. You guys know what I'm talking about? Any of you with kids or from a big family, you know what I'm talking about. You know, it becomes chaotic. See, my wife and I, when we were first married, we were like travel experts. We were like travel ninjas. Like, we could decide in a moment, hey, we're going to go up somewhere, and we'd go into the house, and we'd 5 minutes later, we're packed and out the door and on the road. It was like super easy. But now, with six human beings and two canines, it's a little more crazy. You know what I'm talking about? Like, that all changed when the saboteurs arrived. And I don't think my children are intentionally sabotaging us. But if you ever tried to leave the house with kids, you know what I'm talking about. You pack a bag and you put cool stuff in it and you walk away and you come back. And it's everywhere. It's already spread out. You're like, but Dad, I wanted to play with those toys. I said, yeah, I know, but we're bringing those. And so on and on this thing goes usually when we leave the house. And that's just part of the battle. The other part of the battle is with that many people, trying to fit everything we need to bring for like 5 days of camping into one car is like crazy. It's like playing human Tetris. Got to move my children around and put bags under their feet. And it's crazy. So I've gotten into this routine of getting things ready the night before so that we can leave on time, right? It never really works out. So the morning that we were supposed to leave, this trip was just like that. The morning we were supposed to leave, you know, I'm getting everyone ready, and, you know, our departure time comes and goes, and then an hour goes by, and then another hour goes by, and then finally, we've finally gotten all the humans in the car, all the stuff in the car, we're ready to go, the dogs are taken care of, and at this point, it's time to start our relaxing vacation, you know what I mean? And so we're driving down the road, and Dad is on a mission. I'm Dad, by the way. I'm on a mission, like, it's not a mission from God, but I'm on a mission. We're going to make it to vacation, and we're going to have fun, and we're going to get there eventually. But in all the chaos of getting out of town, I'd forgotten something very important. I'd forgotten to top off the tank. I'd forgotten to make sure we had the fuel we needed to reach our destination. Now, I had a fuel gauge that told me I had enough range to make it to where I wanted to stop, which was somewhere along the middle in Bakersfield, and stop for gas and food, because that was a sensible place to stop. I wasn't stopping in Simi Valley. We had to leave town. But I'd forgotten, and I didn't realize that my fuel gauge was lying to me. So there, right outside of Gorman, on this very steep hill, I found ourselves out of gas in 102-degree weather. In fact, there's a picture. My wife graciously took this photo on the side of the freeway. There's me with my hand in my head. See, there we were, the car loaded up with babies and, you know, with little infant and children, and it's 102 degrees, and we've got no air conditioning, and we're stuck on the side of the freeway, hoping we don't get run over by a semi-truck, which I don't know if you saw in the picture, there was a semi-truck driving by when she took that picture. In that moment, I was reminded of something important. See, in my desire to get there, I neglected to pay attention to something vital. That my source of power for the journey was important. And I learned that before I can go up, I have to be filled up for the journey. See, we called a tow truck, and They came like an hour or two later. I don't remember how long. It was 2 hours later. So we sat in the heat and just pondered the meaning of life for 2 hours. But I was reminded that A, help was coming, but B, that I need to fill myself up before I begin the journey that God has put in front of me. See, friend, you and I are created with a purpose. God has put within your heart a purpose. He's created you for a reason. And you were created to fulfill that purpose. And while that's true, God doesn't send you empty. He doesn't send you out the door on an empty tank of gas to run out of fuel along the way. God wants to fill you up. And there will be times where we are metaphorically running on fumes. You know what I'm talking about? You ever been there? Where we're out of gas, or maybe we're flat out of gas and we're stuck on the side of life's road and we don't know where to go or what to do. And it's in those moments that we cry out to God. And it's in those moments that we can know that help is coming. And that's the title of my message this morning, Help is Coming. See, when we are empty, we need to remember that help is coming. If you have a Bible, turn to Acts chapter 2. And that's exactly what we're going to look at today. So here in the pages of Scripture, we see the early Christians, the followers of Jesus. They had seen Jesus do all sorts of cool stuff in their time. They had seen Jesus do miracles and heal the sick and raise dead and give voice to those that were mute. He did all sorts of things. And not only did he do those things, but they saw him do what he said he was going to do. He died on the cross, and then he rose from the grave. And then he spoke to them for 40 days and taught them all sorts of cool stuff. But now they were somewhat alone. We looked at this scripture a couple weeks ago. Jesus ascended into the heavens. He ascended to be with the Father. And now they're there like, okay, what now? Maybe like us, they felt like they're stuck on the side of the road out of gas. Like, what now? But Jesus told them to wait. And there they stand, not alone, but they might feel it. And so what did they do? They went back to the city. We talked about this last week. And in one accord, they gathered together and they began praying. They said, God, we want you to empower us for this mission. God, we need you to show up. See, Jesus had promised them that he would equip them, that he would fill them up for this journey, for this job that he had called them to of sharing the love of Jesus to the ends of the earth. But now they're waiting. And here we are in Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 1. It says this. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together. Say all together.
All together.
They were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled. Say all filled. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. See, we believe that God wants to fill all believers with His Spirit, that God wants to fill us up in a subsequent and distinct experience from our conversion, that God wants to empower us for the work that He's created us to accomplish. See, there's some that believe that when we read this account in Acts chapter 2, there's some that read the pages of Scripture and believe this was a one-time deal, that God wanted to just fill these disciples up, that He wanted to just do that. He wanted to fill them up or pour out the Spirit just on them. But we don't believe that. And I'll tell you, there's a number of reasons, but first of all, the God who did this does not change. Jesus hasn't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same God who did that then and empowered them for the mission wants to empower us for the journey ahead of us as well. God wants to fill us with His Spirit. See, we believe this not only for theological reasons, but for practical reasons. See, theologically, we don't see just this one occurrence. We see other men and women being filled with the Spirit later on in the book of Acts and elsewhere. But more than that, we know that through the pages of church history, throughout the long time ago, and even in our current time, that men and women are still filled with God's Spirit and empowered supernaturally with the power of God. See, we see here and elsewhere in Scripture that the followers of Jesus were empowered with the Holy Spirit to equip them for some special purpose. We often call this theologically, if we were to look in a theology book, we'd call this the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that's a great analogy because we understand baptism. You know, we've got a dunk tank back here. We'll dunk you if you want. And our baptism is more than just there's nothing spiritual about the action itself, but it symbolizes the inward work of what God has already done. See, Jesus tells us to be baptized, so we do what he said to do. He says that we should baptize disciples in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And there's something important about it because the action of going under the water symbolizes our death to our old way of living. And as we're raised from the water, just as Jesus was raised from the dead, it's symbolic of our newness of life in Jesus Christ. So there's something beautiful about a baptism. But what God says is, I want to baptize you, I want to fill you, I want to submerge you with the Holy Spirit. I want to fill you up with the Spirit. I love, we've got some great elders of the faith. Guy P. Duffield and Nathaniel Van Cleve wrote a great book called The Foundations of Pentecostal Theology. They said this, they said, the baptism with the Holy Spirit is not something with which we must persuade God the Father to give. God took the initiative and promised the Holy Spirit. This great experience doesn't originate with men. See, God does want to give us this filling with his Holy Spirit. And I want to talk to you about a couple things we learned from this scripture and elsewhere today. The first is this: God wants to fill us up. Would you say those words with me? God wants to fill us up. You guys sound good today. God wants to fill us up with his Spirit. See, we see believers over and over again in the pages of the Bible receiving this gift of God, but not without a purpose. See, you were created with a divine purpose. And just as we see the early followers of Jesus, they were filled with God's Spirit, and then they went out into the world, and they changed their world with the gospel. They healed the sick. They did miracles beyond their own natural abilities, not because they were so great, but because God had empowered them for this mission. See, you were created with a divine purpose as well. I don't know if you believe that or not. Sometimes that's the biggest part. We don't believe that God created us with a purpose, but you're not an accident. You're not a cosmic mistake. It's not like in the pages of history, like, whoop, how did that one get through? You are not a mistake. Some of you are like, I feel that way sometimes. See, the Bible tells us that you were destined, that God foreknew all things, and he knew that you would be in this place at this time, in this season of life, that of all the time on the planet Earth, God wanted you to be here and God wanted you to be now. You were created for this moment in time, in this place. Now, I don't know what gifts God has placed deep within you. Some of you are fantastic orators and you could stand in front of thousands of people and speak. Others of you, just hearing that sends a shiver down your spine, right? You don't want to be in front of people. But whatever it is that God has gifted you with, God has given you a purpose. He's created you for a reason. And that's the good news. See, God wants to do greater things in and through your life than you ever imagined. The question is, will you allow him to? See, for those things that God has called us to do, he doesn't send us with an empty tank. He's not so busy getting to the destination that he forgets to fill us up, but sometimes we need to stop and say, God, I need a refill. God, I want you to fill me up spiritually so that I can do what you've made me to do. And that's exactly what we need. See, God wants to empower you with the Spirit. And the Bible teaches us that there's two distinct parts to this process. I want to quickly overview. We could spend months just covering this one subject, but we're going to have a quick overview. The Bible says there's two parts to this process, that God first wants to seal you, and then he wants to fill you. So let's talk about the first. God wants to seal you with his Holy Spirit. See, the Bible teaches that the very moment that we receive the Lord Jesus Christ, the very moment that we say yes to receiving the free gift of grace through Jesus Christ, that we put our trust in Jesus, that we are at that moment sealed with the Holy Spirit of God, that God gives us as a kind of like a guarantee of something to come. Here's what it says in Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 13. It says, in him you also say, when you heard. Come on now, say, when you heard. When you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed. Say, and believed. In him you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. So when does this happen? When are we sealed with the Spirit of God? When we believe. It says, when you heard and when you believed. So there's two parts of this process. We have to hear this good news of Jesus Christ and his saving work. And then we have to choose to believe it. We have to say, God, I trust you. I trust that I am eternally saved through your son, Jesus. And the Bible declares that when we hear and when we believe, that we are sealed with the Spirit of God. That if you have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, that you have the Holy Spirit. He dwells within you. So for some of you within the sound of my voice, that day may be today. Today may be the day for you that you say, God, I need you. I need to receive the gift that you've given me. God wants to seal some of you with the Holy Spirit. He wants to fill you up. But you've got to begin by saying, God, I've heard this good news that you love me, that you came to forgive my sins. I want to receive that free gift. And the Bible says when we hear and believe, that's when we receive the gift of the Spirit. That's when we're sealed with the Spirit of God. So God says he wants to seal us with the Spirit, and then we see a distinct process of being filled up with the Holy Spirit. Again, to quote the Venerable Duffield and Van Cleve, they say, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a definite experience subsequent to salvation, whereby the third person of the Godhead, the Spirit of God, comes upon the believer to anoint and energize him for special service. This experience is designated in the New Testament as the Spirit falling upon, coming upon, or being poured out upon the yielded believer in a sudden and supernatural manner. See, we believe that there is a subsequent experience to our salvation where God fills us up with his Spirit to empower us for the life that he's created us to live. That the moment we come to faith, we're sealed with the Spirit, but God says, I want to fill you up. I want to fill up your spiritual tank that you may be able to do all that I've created you to do. See, but there's something that we play a role in. We have to be willing. You notice what Duffield says. He says, we have to be yielded to God. Here's the problem. We don't like to yield to God because then God can do whatever he wants to do in my life, right? I'm not so sure I want to do that. But we have to yield ourselves to God. And God wants to do this work in us, but we have to make ourselves available to him. We've got to allow God to do this work in us. See, God wants to fill us with his Spirit. Here's what Jesus said in Luke 11:11. I've shared this before, but he says, what father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead give him a serpent? Like, Dad, can I have fish for dinner? No, here's a snake. No, I don't think so. Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion. He's trying to be funny. You can laugh. It's funny. Like, what dad would do that? But he says, if you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? See, as a daddy, I look down at my boys and I see the trust in their eyes as they come to their father asking and needing and expecting things that they need. They can't take care of themselves. As I see my two-year-old and needing a new diaper, he can't change his own diaper. He needs help. He's getting potty trained very soon. My seven-month-old, he's got some time. He can't do that himself. But when I see my boys, I know that they look to their father because they trust me. And I know that I am a mile away from being a perfect father. Oh, I hope to be the perfect father. I want to demonstrate to my boys what God, our Heavenly Father's love is like. I want them to see what God's love is like by the way that I love them. But I know that I'm far from perfect. And if I'm far from perfect and I love my children, what Jesus is saying is how much more will our Heavenly Father, who is perfect, he is a good, good Father, how much more will he give those gifts to us when we come asking him? See, we're not going to come to God and say, God, would you give me your Spirit? And he's like, here's a snake instead. That's not our Father. That's not the way he loves us. So how can I get filled up by God? I want to share a couple things from the scriptures today. The first thing we've got to do, if we want to be filled up by the God, the first thing we've got to do is you've got to put your trust in Jesus. That's obviously the most important step. You've got to turn from your sins and say, God, I want to follow after you. I want to put my trust in you. See, the very first thing we must do is realize that there's a God who created us, and there's a God who loves us. That there's a God that was not willing that our sin would separate us from him, so he sent his son Jesus to die in our place for our sins. That we have to choose to, after hearing that, put our trust in Jesus, that he is the only one that can save us from our sins. See, Jesus himself made this claim. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Our good works won't get us to God. No other religions will get us to God. Only Jesus Christ will get us to God. So the very first thing we've got to do is put our trust in Jesus and understand and believe and receive his gift of grace. See, we were made for an intimate and abiding relationship with God. God so loved the world, and that's you and me, that he sent Jesus. And before we can expect to receive from God, we've got to receive the most important gift, or the gift of eternal life through his son, Jesus. See, I'm not talking about the sort of, I believe Jesus lived intellectual belief, but a deep belief that says, I trust in Jesus for my salvation. I trust that he's given me eternal life. See, each one of us has to decide whether we believe that Jesus is the way or not. So the first thing we're going to do if we want to be filled up by God is we've got to trust in Jesus. The second thing we've got to do is go public with our faith. See, God doesn't fill us with his spirit just so that we can pound our chest and say, look how great I am. God fills us with the spirit that we might do just as these early Christians did and go and bear witness to the good news of Jesus Christ, that we might go and tell our neighbors and our friends, that we might fulfill the purpose that God has put in our lives. For some of us, it's going to be speaking publicly. For others of us, it's going to be raising children in the ways of God. For others of us, it's going to be going to work a job and doing things that look different. But whatever it is that God has created us for, the purpose that he's designed us for, he wants to empower us for it. So we've got to go public with our faith. The third thing we've got to do is join in with other believers. See, our scripture says, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. There's something important about us joining together with other brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ, of us joining with other people that follow Jesus. See, at Pentecost and at other situations in the New Testament where we see men and women baptized with or filled with the Holy Spirit, they don't do it in a vacuum. There's not some moment that happens. Of course, God can do whatever God wants to do. But every moment we see in the pages of Scripture, we see this happen with others. Like in Acts chapter 2, what we're looking at today. Suddenly, as they were waiting for God, God showed up and poured out his Spirit in a way that met people. And it was kind of it's the only time we see tongues of fire and crazy supernatural things that are happening physically, physical manifestations. Like, that'd be pretty wild if there was fire floating around in this room, right? Come on, you guys can say yes, it's true. So in Acts chapter 2, we see it suddenly happen. In Acts chapter 10, verse 44, we see instantly and unexpectedly the Spirit of God falls on men and women as they listen to a sermon. As they're hearing someone preach, God's Spirit falls and fills them with his Spirit. Now, that's pretty cool. That's my hope and prayer as we gather together and teaching and preaching that God would meet you, that he would fill you up supernaturally with his Spirit. And that is something that happens. And then in Acts chapter 8, verse 14, we're going to read it in a second, we see that through the prayer and laying on of hands that God chooses to fill some people with his Spirit. See, there's no formula that's right. God chooses to fill us up with his Spirit in different ways. But it is the model that we often think of. And I want to read this scripture. Acts 8, 14, it says, now when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, which was amazing, by the way, they wouldn't have believed it. They sent to them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For he had not yet fallen on any of them. But they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then they laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. So in this example, we see these men and women that, man, they gave their lives to Jesus. They put their trust in him, and they're joining together. They took their faith public through water baptism. They declared before God and man, I trust in the Lord Jesus with my eternal life. And then finally, there's some men that come, and they say, hey, Would you like to receive the Holy Spirit? And that is when these individuals get to choose, God, do I want to receive that? And they say yes. They lay their hands on him and God fills them with the Spirit. So the fourth thing we've got to do is we've got to ask God to fill us up. There's something important about us actively yielding our faith. See, we serve a God who's a perfect gentleman. He's not going to force himself on us. He's not going to make us receive him. He's not going to make us be filled with the Spirit. God is waiting for us to say, God, I want you to fill me up. So we've got to ask God to fill us up. We want to make space available this morning. If there's somebody in the room today, say, God, I need a touch from God today. I want to be filled with God's Spirit today. Maybe I have been in the past. Maybe I've been baptized with the Spirit. Whatever it is, if you say, I want someone to pray for me today, we want to make space available for that to do. See, we are here to pray and lay hands on you and ask God to fill you with the Spirit. But I need you to believe this, that God wants to fill you with the Spirit. In fact, would you repeat these words after me? God wants to fill me up with the Spirit. Ready? Wants me to fill me up with the Spirit. That was pretty weak. Ready? Go. God wants to fill me up with this Spirit. Guys, it's time to stop thinking about this just up here. Just an intellectual belief. Man, I believe God wants to fill people up. God, I believe God wants to fill me up with this Spirit. It's time to take it from here down to here, to our heart and to our hands. And say, Lord, I want to be equipped. God, I know that you've created me with a purpose. I want to walk in the ways that you've created me. I want to do what you've called me to do. See, the knowledge of God is never meant to make us smarter, just intellectually smarter. It's meant to transform us from the inside out. And God wants to change some of our lives. He wants to change us by His Spirit from the inside out. So very often we get focused on what our hands are doing, on our behaviors and our actions. And God says, if you just yield yourself to me and allow me to change you from the inside out, that's what God wants to do. So God doesn't give us His Holy Spirit so we can brag about how great we are or how cool it is or any of those things. God wants to fill us with His Spirit so that we can do immeasurably bigger things than we could naturally do in our own abilities. So that those purposes that God has placed deep within our hearts can be accomplished by His power. So that we're not on the side of the road without gas saying, God, I know I'm trying to go somewhere, but I'm out. I'm empty. I'm not even running on fumes anymore. I'm out. God wants to fill us up. See, friends, we serve a limitless God. But you and I find ourselves with so many limitations, so many things that we are unable to do. And God wants to fill us up. Here's what Ephesians 3:20 says. It says, now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to Him, to God, be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. See, God is looking for men and women who will rise up, not in an abundance of giftedness, but in an abundance of faith, who will look to the God who empowers us to do impossible things. God is looking for a limited people to turn their eyes towards the limitless God, to do immeasurably more than we ask or even think He's capable of doing. See, God is able to do far more abundantly than we think He can do in us and through us. But the problem is that many of us have a far too small a view of God. We shape God into our own image. And we think that the limitations that we have, maybe in relationships or in some situation in our lives, we think that God can't possibly do more than I can do. But we neglect to realize that He's God, that He can do abundantly more than we even think He's able to do. But some of us have too small a view of God. Now, I don't know what it is that you're struggling with, what is it's going on in your life, but God wants to do some breakthroughs. God wants to break through in those areas. God wants to fill you with the Spirit. See, some of you have never received the love of the Father. And this morning, my hope and my prayer is that you'd hold out your hands and receive His love for the first time today. That you would hear it and you'd believe it and that you'd trust the Lord Jesus. For others of you this morning, I know maybe you've never asked God to fill you with this Holy Spirit. Maybe that's something you've just never done for one reason or another. Maybe you've been embarrassed or afraid or scared or whatever reason. But God's in the house today. And he wants to fill you with his Spirit. If you've never made that step of faith, we're going to have, again, our prayer team available. If you want to receive that, you say, God, I need to be filled up. Maybe you've been filled with the Spirit and just like us on the side of the road, you feel like, man, I'm kind of out. I've poured out my life. God, I want you to fill me up afresh today. I'm going to make an opportunity for that to happen as well. Would you bow your heads with me and close your eyes for a moment as we respond to the Lord this morning? See, as we conclude our time together today, and as we come to prayer, I want to remind you that God is here. That he is with us today, right here, right now, right where you're sitting, that God is here. Today is going to be a milestone day for some of you. My hope and my prayer, as I've been praying for you this past week, is that God would do something big in your life today. That this would be a day that you'd mark on the calendar and say, that was the day that God changed me. That was the day that God filled me up. That was the day that God did a work in me that I thought was impossible to do. It began there as I surrendered my life to him. Today's a milestone day. Some of you, God wants to seal with his Holy Spirit as you put your trust in Jesus Christ. As you say, God, I trust you. For others of you, God says, this is going to be a day that he's going to fill you up. He wants to baptize you with the Spirit today. God is looking for men and women who will be yielded to him, who will hold up their hands and say, Lord, would you use my life? For others of you, God is wanting to fill up the tank. You've been spiritually empty for one reason or another, and God says, I want to fill you up with my Spirit. I want to remind you that I'm still with you, that I'm still there going on this journey with you. See, part of receiving God's Spirit, part of being filled up with the Spirit is asking him. Let me ask you, will you ask God to fill you up this morning? If that's you and you need a touch from God in some way, would you hold out your hands in front of you in a posture of receiving from the Lord? We're going to have our prayer team available to lay hands on you, but before we do that, this is between you and God. If that's you, would you just hold out your hands in front of you? Father, we thank you that you are the God of miracles, that you are the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, that you don't change. God, I pray that you'd pour out your Spirit on your people, that you'd fill us up with everything we need to live the sort of life you've created us to live. I thank you that you are a good Father, that you give good gifts to your children. This morning we ask you to fill us up afresh, to pour out your Spirit on us. God, to do in our lives works of transformation that we could not even imagine. God, would you change marriages? God, would you change wrong attitudes and behaviors? Would you change our behaviors as you transform our hearts from the inside out? God, we pray for breakthroughs. Lord, where there's addictions and bondages to different things, God, I pray that you'd break those off in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit of God, I thank you that you can do the impossible. So right now, with our arms out, Lord, we say, we want to receive from you everything that you have for us. Whatever measure of faith that is, Lord, if that's a sealing, or if that's a filling, or it's a refill, God, would you fill us up? God, we pray that you'd empower us to do the sort of things you've created us to do. Show us what that looks like, Father. In Jesus' name. Finally, with every head bowed and eye closed in this place, I do want to make an opportunity. If you've never taken that first step of faith, you've never said yes to Jesus, you've never received the free gift of grace. See, as I talked about being sealed with the Spirit, that happens the moment we choose to believe, the moment we decide to follow Jesus, we take that first step of faith. If that's you and you've never taken that first step of faith, you've never received God's gift of grace, you've never said yes to Jesus, I want to invite you in just a moment to lift up your hand and agree with me in prayer. I want to pray with you. I'm not going to call you down front or do anything strange. But if that's you, with every other head bowed and eye closed, would you lift up your hand right where you're at, whether you're here or in the lobby or watching at home, wherever you are, lift up your hand. Church, can you pray this prayer with me? Those who may be praying it for the very first time. Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for your love. I thank you for your grace. I believe that you are the way, that you are the truth, and that you are the life. I trust you, Jesus, for my salvation. I trust you, Jesus, to give me eternal life. And I thank you, Jesus, that you want to give me power to live my life today. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Church, our worship team's going to sing another song. I'm going to have Pastor Rebecca, Anna, and our prayer team to come down to the front. They're going to sing a worship song. You're welcome to hang out in an attitude of worship. If you need prayer, you say, I want someone to lay hands on me and pray about a situation. I want to be filled up, or I want to refill. I want God to fill me up. If that's you today, come on down front, guys. If that's you today, I want to challenge you to come on down front. This is the end of our service. You're welcome to stay in an attitude of worship or come for prayer. But have a great week otherwise. God bless you.